I can confirm before the end of this Parliament in 2024, for the first time in 16 years, the basic rate of income tax will be cut from 20 to 19 pence in the pound.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Local Shop Podcast. I'm Chris Noyce, and this is the podcast for everything to do with the convenience sector and the issues facing local shops. I'm here with James and Ed to react to the spring statement, which we are just a couple of hours removed from. James, Ed, hello. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
Hi. Good to see you guys.
So we've just got our initial reactions out, and I think all having been here for over a decade, some of us over a couple of decades, we've been through plenty of these, and there's usually an initial reaction which is kind of a good, bad, or indifferent statement or budget, whatever the Chancellor wants to call it at that time. James, initial thoughts on immediate feelings about this one?
I think probably in each of my 25 budgets I've reacted to this spring statement, actually it's more than that, isn't it? We have all to handspring. They're always sort of indifferent, aren't they? There's always ups and downs, there's always things that we like, things that we don't like. I think what is extraordinary about this is the scale of the challenge that the Chancellor was facing here. Three once-in-a-generation events or impacts. You know, you've got Brexit. Don't forget that. That obviously has significant impact on trade and other parts of society, labour market, and so on. We have a very we have the Russian invasion of Ukraine, which is a huge event, both for the people involved in it directly, of course, but also the knock-on effects around the world. And we are hopefully just emerging from a pandemic which has had enormous impact, obviously, on people's lives, again, been most directly affected, but also on the economy more widely. So in that context, that's led to massive inflation and lots of other economic challenges. So the question was really, has what the Chancellor's done today done enough to offset those problems? And obviously, we're looking at that from the perspective of convenience stores, local shops, and we'll go on to answering that question, but that seems to be the context for us.
Yeah, and Ed, we talk in the context of convenience stores and local shops. It seems like government, and specifically the Chancellor during this statement, mainly was talking about consumer issues. Obviously, in the intro there, the planned cut in the basic rate of tax in a couple of years, but seemed like quite a business light statement overall.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think it was very focused around supporting consumers with cost of living issues and repeating the announcements they made around energy support. There are some elements of support for business, and we'll come on to discuss those, but I think actually lots of the things that could support business that were interesting have been actually deferred again into the summer for further consultations on tax reform and reliefs, which we'll obviously be engaging with. So at this point, the Chancellor, in terms of business and signals to business, made some good signals. I think he said, right, we want to support investment, but he didn't actually put any detail on that, and sure, he pushed it down to the summer, so we've got to look further at that.
So should we get into some of the specifics then, some of the measures that will be perhaps not making the headlines, because of course business friendly or business unfriendly measures tend to not make the headlines, but certainly for members, some of the most interesting things will be around things like the employment allowance and changes to the employment allowance from next month, to investment allowance, to some of the measures that have already been announced. What stands out, I'll go to you, Ed, first, what stands out as the most positive changes that are coming down the road for businesses as a result of this statement?
So directly in response, I think the employment allowance increasing by £1,000 from £4,000 to £5,000 will be a great support to all of those businesses out there, particularly smaller businesses looking around employment costs at the moment. And let's not ignore the fact there's an increase in the national living wage coming to £9.50 very shortly, which is one of our biggest costs. So anything that supports with that cost of employment in what is a very tightening labour market is really important. So that is a welcome move. It's not as effective as the Chancellor increasing employer national insurance thresholds as he has for employees. That mm-hmm. would have lifted more of the people that work in the sector and more of the costs of the sector, but nonetheless it is still a positive move. So I think that is important, a really important element. I think as well as that, looking at supporting investment in around energy efficient plant and machinery in stores, whether that's refrigeration or air conditioning or whatever it might be, solar panels, That is really important because obviously those costs of energy are going up in the long term. So we have to make long term investments around that. And I think that's difficult to do now because lots of the retailers we talk to say, well, I've invested quite a lot in energy efficiency already and reduced my energy output by 2 or 3%, but my bill's gone up by 50%. So how does that work? But I think we have to think longer term about these things. Energy costs are going to be a big part of our business going forward. So these types of measures are really helpful.
When we talk about things like investment allowance and exemptions for renewable investments and these kind of things, is there a sense that these levers keep being pulled on a quite a temporary basis? They tend to be quite time limited. Do you think retailers are perhaps hesitant to make these investments, thinking, or maybe there's something better coming down the line in 6 months, 12 months time, and I don't want to make this investment now because we could get a better exemption or a better rate of tax or VAT or whatever it is in the future? This is in the context of rising energy costs as it is, so investment in these measures is really important. But I just wonder about whether it's perhaps a distracting factor that these things keep being played within the margins.
Yeah, so maybe change so often. I think that might be a factor. I mean, I think a bigger factor for us is we know our sector has quite a conservative investment strategy. You know, we know that most retailers fund out of their own reserves rather than necessarily borrowing to invest in the business. So, you know, I think that it's not easy to just announce a pro-investment measure. And I think these are really important, really good pro-investment measures, as the initial super deductor policy was when that was first announced. And I think this Chancellor actually really does have, really gets that, the recovery from COVID and actually other government agendas like levelling up, they're going to be driven by private sector investment. How can we get businesses saying, yeah, these making more of an investment, taking a risk, spending more on improving my business, improving the area around me, that makes sense from a fiscal economic point of view. You know, I'm gonna, this is something I really want to do. So I think they do get that, but I think you're right, sometimes these measures can be a bit opaque and maybe they can be in a sense of, well, there'll be some more measures coming around the corner, because I think the government will be wanting to prime the pump on this a lot, you know, going forward. They'll be wanting to keep pushing this agenda. But certainly, you know, that the case for investments by businesses, I mean, now is kind of the classic example, isn't it? Because Ed's right that even businesses who've really invested in energy efficiency are still seeing increased bills, but those bills would be way more if they hadn't. And if there are incentives to invest, you know, that seems to me, and particularly obviously these incentives being very focused on green investments, that has to just make sense now to try and, you know, really push ahead and leapfrog and start making some of those investments in the business. And if ever there was, you know, I need a proof that that makes business sense as well as making environmental sense and maybe making sense to the overall economy. I think the last few months have really shown that to be the case.
Let's talk about bills then. And one of the biggest bills that a lot of people are facing now is on fuel. And probably the biggest headline-grabbing announcement that was reasonably well-trailed before the statement was the 5p cut in fuel duty rates. Obviously, we anticipate the retailers will be passing this on. Two questions, really. One, this is something that helps consumers, doesn't necessarily help retailers. It will help those that are doing deliveries and the sort of the cost of fuel themselves, but for forecourt retailers, it probably doesn't help, facing lots of other costs. What could the Chancellor have done on that for forecourt retailers to help? And second question is, this is quite a historic cut in duty rates. We haven't had a cut for a very long time. I can't remember the exact period of time, but typically these rates are frozen. Is there any way that this cut can then be brought back to where it was before, or is this now the standard level? It feels like chancellors would be mad to then reintroduce. I mean, they've talked about it being time limited, but potentially dangerous political thing.
Yeah, technically a time limited reduction, but like you say, realistically, politically, you know, when is a good time to increase fuel duty? And we know there's never a good time because they've sort of ducked that and frozen it every year, which obviously we're sort of pleased about representing fuel retailers. Look, I think that there is a real problem in how this is going to be passed on. That's the thing I'd really focus on. And already we've seen the Secretary of State Business writing around to us as fuel retailers, saying that they, you know, expect this to be passed on. I mean, that's all very well, and I think they will be passed on. It will be passed on to the extent that it can be, because we're in a competitive market. And if you're not passing it on, or you're not, you know, pricing fuel as competitively as you can be, you'll find that you're not going to make many sales. But the price of fuel is being hugely determined by the price on the open market, and obviously that is up, down, sideways, on its head. I mean, it's changing all the time, and it's really hard for anyone to plan for that. So I was talking to a retailer yesterday who was talking about this trailed 5p reduction in fuel duty, which obviously has now happened, and they're saying that's fine, but my price has just gone up 8p. So, you know, in a way that what consumers might see, taking it literally, don't take it, might see a 3p increase.
Sure.
But it still looks like a 3p increase, because actually it's 5p less than it would otherwise have been. I don't know how that will actually play out in terms of timing and lags and stuff. We'll see. But, you know, we're against that background of radically changing. But look, it is really good news that they've taken this measure, for sure.
Yeah. And Ed, in terms of policy levers, specifically for forecourts, because they're facing a lot of pressure at the moment, what is there that the government could do on this?
Well, the fuel tax cut obviously supports with consumers. We were calling for more actions in the lead up to this around business rates, mm-hmm. to try and support retailers directly with rising energy costs as well, because we know that has been, as the government have stated themselves, the most effective lever to get support to all retailers in the future. And unfortunately, we haven't seen as much action. We've seen the 50% reduction that was planned or in business rates relief capped at £110,000 still coming forward, and the rates multiplier frozen for business rates going ahead, but no further action at this point in time. I imagine this will be part of our conversations in the summer. But in terms of other tax measures, I think the key thing to note here is around the income tax element of what Rishi Sunak has announced today, because that's an announcement that's not happening until 2024. But of course, that does hold them to quite a big tax cut, and being sort of fiscally conservative, and aligns very closely with an election cycle as well. So it's quite hard to them to row back on that that income tax cut in the lead up to the next election. So we should expect more support through the tax system for business in the years ahead.
Something I hadn't planned to cover, but something that's just come to my mind when you say that about being fiscally conservative. What we tend to see is with public spending being cut or being measured, you see government departments kind of merge or disappear entirely. We've got, you know, business, energy, skills, investment, everything. Do you anticipate more of that before the next election? Do you anticipate more government departments coming together and then perhaps having a bit less resource to look at the things that we want them to?
It's not something I'm expecting, purely for perhaps more political reasons about where you move people to in consolidating different departments and things. So it's not at this stage.
Well, since at the moment we're moving to the north, which
yes.
is a.
But I suppose there's a focus on that stability in government at the time.
Makes a lot of sense. So one thing that we tend to try and pick up is where there's any devil in the detail, and just want to cover this just in case. I mean, the document itself was quite a bit shorter than we're used to, with quite big pictures, which is, you know, it makes an easy enough read. Ed, was there anything in there that, not in the speech, in the document, that we need to be aware of, or was it pretty much straightforward on the face of it?
I think you're right, it was a much smaller document. It should be noted there were two documents published. So there was the spring statement document announcing all the specific policy measures, but actually there was a separate document around the Chancellor's tax plan, mm-hmm. for broader tax reform, was where I talked about earlier on a lot more proposals to be consulted on in the summer. And as I said, there are some positive noises in that document that indicate that out of the things he talked about around people and capital and ideas around cutting tax on investment, there is a clear indication from the Chancellor that Britain under-indexes in the amount they invest in people and the amount that investment is supported through the tax system. So I think helps us make the case again for things like business rates relief there. He also makes a specific reference to reviewing things like the apprenticeship levy, How can we look at the levy to support more skills and people? We know the levy isn't working very well. It is a difficult system. We've seen the number of apprenticeships dropping. So I think there are some things in there that are positive as well. So I think more on summer consultations will be the sort of the further detail that we'll get.
Sure. And looking ahead then, both to the summer and beyond, a lot of the measures that we recommended in our spring statement submission referred to 2023-24 because of a lot of the business rate support, for example, had been already announced previously. And this was, as I say, it's a interim budget, if you like, a spring statement, which is not a full budget with the same level of announcement. As we look forward to October, and hopefully some people will be looking forward to October, it doesn't seem like many will be at the moment. I guess the work starts now on what those policy asks will be. James, is it what feels like the priority going into the next 6 months of, if you meet the Chancellor in a lift, you've got 30 seconds to tell him what you want? What does that look like? Is it basically the same as what we've been calling for before, or does this bring some new things into play?
Yeah, I think there's probably two things I'd talk about. I would talk about welcome. I'd say thank you very much for the work to promote investment, and kind of relating to your points before, but we need to go further and we need to bring it to life for more businesses, especially small businesses, make that easier to access, easier to see the benefits of. So I think there'd be a significant focus on that. I think another key thing that is too often skipped past, it just looks too difficult, is the enforcement of the black market and of illicit alcohol, tobacco, e-cigarettes increasingly we're seeing as well. And this is just about enforcement of these rules and duty rates and making sure people are paying excise duty is just not good enough in terms of the resource given to it and then the coordination between local level enforcement and HMRC. And so I think that would be an area that I really want to talk about as being something that needs to be much, much, much greater focus going forward. And the third area, business rates, we've been discussing business rates forever, about how the system is out of date, which I think people agree with. There's a consultation on online sales tax at the moment. But I think, how can the business rate system be configured in a way that promotes investment and that is fairer, and that is just fairer for businesses wherever they operate, that they are not being crippled by what is ultimately a tax on the right to trade, and how can we make that a fairer tax based more on ability to pay and based more on promoting investment. So yeah, if we're going for a reasonably long lift journey,
hold the lift, yeah, 20, 30 floors. That's great. I think we'll probably leave it there because, as I say, this is just an initial reaction. Let us know as well if you agree, if you don't agree. Talk to us on Twitter at @ACS_localshops and talk to us at our next big event. So Summit 22 is the 26th of April at the Vox in Birmingham. Fantastic lineup of speakers. If you haven't booked, please do so. Speak to Sarah Johnson or go to the website acs.org.uk to book your place. That's it from us. So thanks to Ed and to James for joining me on the podcast, and we will see you next time.